Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, choir. Tech people, making us all sound decent. I appreciate that. You know, I don't know about you. I love the worship. Always good here, but this morning, occasionally you just have times where certain songs just touch you. We were singing, "He Touched Me," and I realized that Mickey was bringing it to a close. I'm thinking, no, I want to keep singing this one. Just keep going. But it was a great worship set again, and leading us to the throne of God. I do want to remind you about this evening. We're going to have a special service called a strength service where we'll get together and we'll talk about what do we believe are the strengths of the church and how do we use them. Are we using them to fulfill the Great Commission or are we using them for us here? And then how do we move outward with those? And kind of as Mickey said in the announcements, it helped prepare us for future ministries, but also help prepare us as we're going to be looking at on Sunday nights some different things we can do in preparation for God's man coming in, his next under-shepherd for the church leading us. So I want to do that. And also don't forget that Mickey announced about the Awanas. We could use some more help in Awanas. And if you're gifted there, if you're not gifted there, doesn't matter. We need some help up there. So just see Johnny or someone, Shannon, someone that can help you with that for Awanas program that we have for our children on Sunday evenings. Today, we've titled the message, Share Your Story. And so we're going to be looking at that. Share your story. What is it? You know, 2 weeks ago, we looked at three ways to recognize that we are all commissioned, 2 or 4 weeks ago, and we're all commissioned to share our thing. Last week, we looked at the Roman road and how to use the Roman road and how it can be simplified and used it. We try to complicate matters too much oftentimes. This year, we're talking about share your story. I mean, today, we're talking about share your story. We've got two people that are going to help me later in the service today by sharing their story. And, you know, as I prepared this, I'm thinking of the story I heard, a quick short story about a woman who shared this about a testimony. So we're talking about testimony. You know, giving your testimony is just an eyewitness. You hear and watch the news all the time. They talk about, we've got a witness or we've got an eyewitness to that account. Can you tell us what happened? And that's what they're doing. They're sharing what they have witnessed, what they have seen at that accident or that incident, whatever it is. And so that's really what we're talking about. When we talk about witness or testimony, we get scared for some reason as Christians. But what we're talking about is just telling what we've seen, telling what we know, telling what God has done in our own lives. And this woman said, she related it back to a high school assignment. She said, I had a high school assignment my senior year was to ask a veteran about the Vietnam War. Now, if you've ever been around, some of you may be Vietnam veterans, so if you've ever been around Vietnam veterans, they're not real quick to talk about what they experienced in Vietnam. I remember hearing from my mother about some of the letters that one of her brothers was sending her, and it was just some atrocious stuff happening, waking up to a dead soldier next to you who the enemy had come into the tent at night and killed, but somehow God protected you. Just some atrocious things. So they're not really outgoing and speaking about what happened there in Vietnam, but she said, since my father had served in the Philippines during the Vietnam War, I chose to ask him and interview him for this witness account. And she said, she asked a few questions. She said, after a few basic questions, I very gingerly asked, Dad, did you ever kill anyone? And he said, she said his voice got soft, which normally happens, got soft, very low. And he said, yes, I probably did, for I was the cook. He wasn't afraid to share his story, and that's what we can't be afraid to share our story either. We've got to be willing to and willing to share our story when God presents those opportunities. Do you fear sharing your faith? Most of us do. Most people, for whatever reason, we fear sharing our faith, and if you do, you're not alone. I want you to understand that, to know that today. You're not alone if you fear sharing your faith. Fear is the number one reason why people give for not sharing their personal faith, by not sharing their personal story, what the story of what God has done and is doing in their lives. And I've talked mentioned the last couple of Sundays about the three fears that we face. I'm going to look at them a little bit more in depth this morning. There are three major fears that we face in not sharing, for not sharing or witnessing or sharing our faith. The first is the fear of not knowing. The second is the fear of rejection. And the third is the fear of failure or embarrassment. Sometimes I say the fear of ridicule. Embarrassment. Jeff Orge, a friend of mine who's the president of the seminary out in Gateway Seminary. I'm trying to think of the name of it. It used to be Golden Gate. They changed the name, moved and changed the name of it. But it's out in California. And he says this. He says, fear is an obstacle to overcome, not an excuse for neglecting responsibility. And that's what we need to understand as Christians. Fear is an obstacle to overcome. It's not an excuse for us for neglecting our responsibility. As we've looked at the last couple of weeks, the scripture tells us to go and to share. So let's look at these three fears real quick here, just a little bit more in depth here. Biblical response to each one of them as we look at them. Scripture, the first one is fear of not knowing. The scripture tells us that we should not worry about what to say, because scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit will give you what to say when you need that to say it at the very moment that you need to say it or to share it. In fact, this is Jesus' words, what he said. In fact, I'm going to read it off the screen there, if I can, because I think I copied down the wrong ones again in my text. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Even if someone has a question or an objection, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Listen to the Holy Spirit when you're sharing your faith, when you're sharing your story, when you're talking any gospel conversation, having any kind of gospel conversation. Listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will guide you. In prayer, before you share your story, just go before God in prayer and asking His Holy Spirit to take control of the conversation, to guide you, even before you begin. Whether you're sharing from the Roman road, as we studied last week, or the nature of salvation that we studied 2 weeks ago, whether you're sharing your story or a tract or however else you present or God leads you to share, the Holy Spirit will guide you in what to say and how to say it at the moment that you need it. And so the fear of not knowing is negated by the Holy Spirit. We don't have to worry. We need to just bury that fear, because it is negated by the Holy Spirit. He will give you the right words to say. The number two fear is the fear of rejection. And in Matthew chapter 10, verse 14, we'll see what Jesus said about that. He says, "And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or that town." Jesus told his disciples not to fear. He says, "Don't fear those who reject us when sharing about God." He said, "It is not you and I, it is He that they are rejecting." They're not rejecting you. They're not rejecting me. They're rejecting Christ and the Holy Spirit. And it's true. Who in here likes sushi? Anybody here like sushi? We got a couple there. Okay, Mickey likes sushi. I'm going to use Mickey. Mickey's name. Okay. How many of you here do not like sushi? I'll put two hands up. I don't like sushi. Well, if Mickey came to you and he said, "I found this brand new fantastic sushi restaurant just opened up, and I got to tell you about it." What would you think? Would you reject Mickey? Or would you be rejecting the notion of a sushi restaurant? You see, you would not be rejecting Mickey, your friend. You would be rejecting this food that you despise or you don't eat or you don't want any part of. Not the messenger. And that's the same with Scripture, with the gospel. When a person does not respond favorably, he's not rejecting me. He's not rejecting you. He's rejecting Jesus. And Jesus has much broader shoulders than I do. He can handle it. And He can deal with that rejection. And He'll send the Holy Spirit another time. You see, I do not need to worry over it if they reject me bringing the message of Jesus Christ. I do not need to worry over it. I should continue to pray for that person and pray for their deliverance, but I should not allow it to send me into depression or to cause fear in me to keep from sharing to someone else or to share with that person again another time. You see, folks, the fear of rejection is removed by Christ. The fear of not knowing is removed by the Holy Spirit. The fear of rejection is removed by Christ, because He said, "They're not rejecting you. You're being obedient. That's what I've called you to do. Go and share. If they reject, they're rejecting Christ, not me, not you. Now, our third fear is the fear of failure or embarrassment. As I sometimes say, it's ridicule. And we need to remember that our responsibility is to be obedient. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which we looked at last week or 2 weeks ago, talks about this. It says, you are to be my witnesses. And he tells about where. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in both Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we need to remember that our responsibility is just to be obedient. Our is to go and to share, to go and to do. You can't convict anyone. I cannot convict anyone. As long as we attempt to share the good news, then our obedience is complete. The Holy Spirit's responsibility is to convince and to convict. This is not your job. It's not my job. It belongs solely to the Holy Spirit of God because He's the only one who can. In fact, if I can talk you into something, someone can come along right behind me and talk you out of it. I remember a time when I was selling vacuum cleaners in homes. And upon arrival, I was selling vacuums, and upon arrival at one particular home, the lady of the house told me, oh, you're wasting your time because I just bought a brand new Kirby vacuum cleaner. It was the top of the line, the best known vacuum cleaner around at the time. And as she said, I just bought it a week to the day. I think it was a Tuesday. She said, I bought it a week to the day ago. She said, so it's brand new. You're just, and I was trained to tell her, yeah, but I get points. So just let me share. An hour later, I walked out of there with a sale. Someone else had come in there a week before and convinced her what she needed was that Kirby. And I came in a week later and I convinced her that what she needed was mine because it was better. That person went in and sold her the top brand name in vacuums, and I came in behind him a week later and cleaned house. Literally. Folks, if I can talk you into something, someone else can talk you out of it. This is why we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit, rely on the Holy Spirit to do the convicting of lost people. It's not yours or mine to do. We are to be obedient, and that's our calling, is to be obedient and share what God has done, what God is doing in our lives, and what God wants for each of those people sitting in front of us. Folks, if you're prayed up and you're working obediently for the Lord, you need not be concerned about failure. You need not be concerned about embarrassment. So the fear of embarrassment is omitted by obedience. The fear of not knowing is omitted by, negated by the Holy Spirit. The fear of rejection is removed by Christ, and the fear of embarrassment is omitted by obedience, our obedience. Share your story. I encourage you, we all should be sharing our story. We all should be ready to share our story whenever God places that opportunity in front of us, and we should be praying for those opportunities. And there are three basic parts I want you to hear about today. Three basic parts of sharing your story real quickly before I bring up our two speakers today. Your life before Christ. That's the first one. What was your life like before Christ? Now, you may not have a dramatic past like a drug user, an alcoholic, or a thief, or anything like that, any other such history. But before you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you were rebelling against God. And you likely did not even know that you were rebelling against God. I was 9 years old when I got saved. Some of you read my testimony. It's in the book God Provides. And, I couldn't say, I was a real rebellious child. My mama told me never to swing high enough that you're pulling that leg off of the ground. And I did it. I was rebellious. I was mean. I was rough. I didn't share that kind of thing. But we've all got a story, and we all were rebelling before we came to know Christ. So tell just a little something about your life before Christ. And then share of your conversion experience. What was it that compelled you to want to make that change? What was it that compelled you? Was it the guarantee of eternal life with God? Was it to leave behind the rebellious practices of your earlier life? Was it the realization of the dissatisfaction of the life you were leading? Was it someone sharing their story with you, like we're going to hear in just a minute? Or perhaps it was just sitting alone in your home reading the Bible. What was it? What was your conversion experience? What caused you to or compelled you to say, I need this. I need Christ. And how did you feel after the acceptance, after that change? And then the third part of that story, the first part is your life before Christ, and then the second part is your conversion. The third part is your life since your conversion. How has God acted in your life since your conversion? Sky, if you would just come on down here and I'll let you share first. How has going to church, how has reading your Bible, how has living according to biblical principles helped you? You can share your story in 3 minutes or less. Now, I didn't tell Sky he had only had 3 minutes. I don't know how long he's going to take. But you can share, you can learn to share your story in 3 minutes or less. And there are websites to help you to write your story, and then to, you can publish it on their websites. And then they even have a way for you to print business cards, and you can handle those business cards out, and people can dial into that internet, and they can hear your story. And see, folks, what I want you to understand, what I want you to hear from Sky, and got someone else going to come after Sky. What I want you to hear is that no one can deny your story. They can't deny your story because it truly happened to you. So we shouldn't be afraid to share our story. Sky, you come and share with us.
Thank you. Well, as Pastor George said, not all stories are exciting. Not all of them are made for TV movies or Hollywood scripts. I grew up in Carlisle, small town, hunting, fishing, and playing sports and doing things that I probably shouldn't have been doing. My best friend, however, grew up hunting, fishing, playing sports, and he didn't do the things I was doing. He was in the church anytime the doors were open and probably sometimes when the doors weren't. His family, you know, that's how he was raised. And something always seemed, I guess, different about him. I thought things looked like they came to him easier. He didn't have the same struggles I did. And I went to church sometimes. It wasn't a regular part of my life, but he was always on me, and he was always inviting me, you know, come to youth with me, come to church. And so I did. And it was a year and a half. I was coming to church on Sunday mornings, going to Sunday school, going to youth on Sunday nights, and for a small church, Blue Licks Christian Church, for a small church, we had a youth of 30, 35 high school students, and, you know, I realized there's something different about them. They seem to do the same things that I do. They seem to have some of the same experiences, but there's still something different. So, you know, I made the decision that I want what they have. So I talked to our pastor, which was also our youth pastor. He came to our house one Sunday after church, and I said, you know, this is the decision that I want to make. I know that I want to accept Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to live for him. I said, but I've talked to my grandfather as well, and he has one stipulation. He wants me to be baptized in the Licking River like he was and like my father was. And I said, so whenever weather permits, I said, let's make that happen. And he said, well, weather will permit this Sunday. So that Sunday after church, we loaded up in vehicles and we drove down to a bank on the Licking River right below Allison's Concrete there. And myself and my sister was baptized in the Licking River in March. But it, you know, here we are. And that's where the misconception started. I thought, well, I'm saved, I'm baptized, I'm a Christian, I've accepted Jesus. Everything's easy now, right? No. We live in the same world as an unbeliever does. We have the same experiences. We walk the same roads, the same paths, but we have assurance. And it took me a while to realize that just because I accepted Christ and just because I became a Christian that it wasn't easy, but I have that assurance. You know, this coming May, I've been married 20 years, and I think of the things that my wife and I have went through, struggles, downfalls, the health experiences I've had in the past year and a half, and I cannot imagine going through that without knowing the Lord, without having that assurance, that peace, that comfort, without having a church family, how beneficial you all were for me and my family when I was going through that. That's the difference. It's not that troubles and downfalls and things were magically erased. It was that at the end of the day, I have that assurance. I have that peace. And because we go through the same things that an unbeliever does, the same downfalls, the same struggles, telling our story, that shouldn't be a problem, and it shouldn't be something that's scary, because we're going through the same things they are. Some may have it worse than others. Some have it better than others, but we have the same issues. We're all humans. We're all mess ups, and we all fall short. Again, mine wasn't an exciting story. I wasn't brought out of alcohol addiction or drug use or abuse. I get the same salvation that a person does that God brought out of that, though. And that's the main thing.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. I like to have one man and one woman. Well, I've done this in a couple other churches, and I like to get people that you've probably never heard their testimony before. And I asked one of the ladies in the church a couple of weeks ago, and you could see the fear come across her face instantly. So some of you are thinking, I'm glad he didn't ask me, because he just seen it on my face too. And she, I did speak with her again today. She's had some stuff going on in the family, not her immediate family, but with one of her sisters and stuff's happening. So for health issues and health reasons. And so I thought, well, who else? I really didn't think that. I really didn't. I thought, well, I've got my backup. I know who I'm going to call. They've never heard her before. So you're going to get to hear from my wife, Pam, come and share with us your story today.
Okay, I have to have paper. Okay, after graduating from high school, I moved to Louisville, where I worked in a hospital and met George. I didn't attend college, a decision I have often regretted. I had no idea of what I wanted to do. All I had ever dreamed of was having a nice job, nice car, living in a nice apartment in a big city, having lots of clothes and shoes. Didn't really have a desire to get married, and if I did, it would be to someone like a doctor who made lots of money and was never home. I did not marry a doctor, but I got one of the two. He's never home. I was going to church with George, and I saw how faithful he was about tithing. Took me a while to know and understand why he gave that 10% to the church. I was able to see and experience that God always provided. I am passionate about tithing and would be afraid not to tithe. On February the 22nd, 1987, while riding home from George one Sunday evening, I was questioning him about some things. We stopped at the church next to where he lived. After talking with the pastor, a friend of George's family, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. George had proposed and we were planning a wedding. I wanted a Catholic wedding with alcohol at the reception. Having been raised in the Catholic Church, that was the only wedding I knew. The Lord was working in my life. We weren't married in the Catholic Church, and there was no alcohol at the reception. I moved to Ohio, where George was already living and working in retail management. 7 years later, he was asked to pray about going into full-time ministry. He was praying and asked me to pray and get my answer from God. God gave me 1 Timothy 1:12. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to the ministry. Full-time ministry was a big adjustment for me, not only the expectations for George, but for me as well. After living in Ohio for 12 years, we were called to ministry at Eastwood Baptist Church in Marietta, Georgia. I had a rough ministry experience in Georgia. Wasn't sure I wanted any part of ministry after that. But with the love and support of our pastor and his wife, my husband, and lots of prayer, I made it through, and we're still in the ministry. Following 4 years in Georgia, God called us to California. I had never even dreamed of visiting California, much less living in California. Again, George asked me to pray and get my answer from God. I didn't get a particular scripture verse, but he gave me a piece about the move, which I knew could only come from him. I was moving across country, and I already knew that we needed about $10,000 more a year than what we would be getting paid, and that was just for our everyday living expenses. That was 3 months that we would not be able to pay the rent. We didn't feel that was God closing a door, and we made the move. While living in California, we bought a house, paid cash for two back surgeries, never missed a house or rent payment, nor a meal or a bill of any kind. And I was able to fly back to Kentucky 3 or 4 times a year to visit family. The move was difficult for my mom. I was the only one of 6 siblings that had moved away from home. She could no longer get in a car and be at my house that same day. I was a day away, but it was now by plane. I had to tell her that I would rather live across country and be in God's will than to be living next door and out of God's will. In 2009, God called us back to Kentucky where we would start our own ministry, which means that George is now self-employed, which means that I don't have the comfort of knowing that we will be bringing in X amount of dollars per week. Again, we trusted God, and God continues to bless us. So many things that I can look back, know, and see that was only God. I thank God daily for his many blessings. I'm so thankful that every second of every day and night, he is there. And believe me, with George traveling so much, I do a lot of praying and talking all hours of the day and night. We have made so many wonderful friends over the years, saw and experienced things I never dreamed of. I know that none of this would have been possible had we not have followed God as he was leading us. God has blessed us, is blessing us, and will continue to bless us as long as Proverbs 3:5-6. We trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, and in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths.
Thank you for that, too. And there's a lot more to that. First time I asked her to do that, it took her about 12 minutes to do it. So she pared a lot of it down. But she does more when she does it for women's retreats and stuff like that. And not that she does it that often. That's why she was reading a lot of it today. But the day that I'd asked her about helping God to find a scripture, the first time she did, I realized that we were for what God wanted us to do, and we're going into full-time ministry. And Sunday night on the way home, I just said, "I want you to pray. I want you to pray and ask God to show you through Scripture." Not that I was counting on whatever she said is what I was going to believe. God had, was giving me the answer too, but I always wanted her, and whatever decision we were making, life decisions, I wanted God. I wanted her peace with it too, and so I always did that. And on a Tuesday morning, I met every Tuesday morning back then with 3 other gentlemen, and we had a men's group that met, kind of a accountability group. And on this particular Tuesday, I walked to the church offices where we met, and one of the men handed us an article that he had copied out of a magazine, Christian magazine. It was an article by Josh McDowell, and it was talking about how I had been working with youth for years, and I just didn't know. I've been asked to go into full-time ministry with adults. And I had a passion for teenagers and students. And so on this particular Tuesday morning, 2 days after I'd asked Pam to pray about it, between 5:30 and 6 o'clock in the morning, I was reading that. We were reading that article silently, and I was reading it, and the first page was talking about how teenagers in the church were really no better off than teenagers outside the church. If the teenagers who had experimented with drugs by the age of 13 was 30% in the church, it was 35% outside the church. And so it wasn't much difference. And it was the same thing with alcohol and with sex. And the numbers were always within 5 points of each other. So I would rather say, "God, is this your answer? Is that what you're telling me?" Because I had such a burden for the youth and students to stay there. And I flipped the page, and on the first sentence of the second paragraph, it said, "You reach the children by reaching their parents." And God tapped me on the shoulder and said, "That's why I've called you into ministry." And I get home that afternoon, and Pam never meets me at the door. She's not June Cleaver. Okay. So she never meets me at the door, but this particular day, she met me at the door. As I'm walking in, she opens the door, and she says, "Sit down, I got to tell you something." She goes running down the hallway, and I knew one of two things that happened. Ed McMahon had been to the door with a check for $5 million. Or Fashion Shop, one of the stores that she always went to, they must have had a big sale, so she's going down to show me all the good stuff she got. Remember the shoes and the clothing she said she wanted? She did get those, by the way. She does have those. But she come back down the hall. I'm sitting on the couch in our sitting room, front room, and And she sits down beside me. She opens her Bible to 1 Timothy 1:12, which she read to you a while ago. And it says, "For this reason I've called him into the ministry." And what I want you to understand is she read that about 6 o'clock in the morning. The very same time, God tapped me on the shoulder. "This is the reason I've called you into ministry." 25 miles apart, God is big enough to give the same answer to two different people. You see, you can share your story. Now, were they both nervous? I don't know about Sky. I know Pam was nervous. It's okay, because God's got it. And he will give you what to say at the right time to say it. And so I want to encourage you to learn to share your story. Remember, no one can deny your story because it truly happened to you. It's a fact. It's what happened. And I want us to understand about sharing our story. I want you to think about, pray this week about sharing your story. And remember our scriptures. That all of our fears are negated. God has given us, told us, we don't have to worry about our fears. We don't have to worry about any of those things. Just be obedient and go and share. Go and tell. Tell someone else. Watch for those. Pray for those opportunities. And be prayed up that God would give you exactly what to say and how to open that door to share with them. If they accept, then you'll be rejoicing. You'll want to share it again, I guarantee you. Anybody who's done that and they've prayed with someone or they've led someone through and led them to Christ, they understand, and it's a joy beyond joys to do that. Share your story. That's why God's left you here. Have you ever thought about that? I think I've shared that before. God left you here for a reason. It's to fulfill the Great Commission. It's to share our story. If not, then as soon as you got saved, as soon as you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, boom, God should take us to heaven, because we're just going to be sinners again. We're still going to be sinners. We're saved sinners, but we're still prone, because we live in a fleshly body, to do wrong. But God left you here. He didn't take you right away. He left you here to share his story that's going on in your life. Share your story. Would you stand with me? We're going to have our time of invitation. This is God's invitation to you, to share with you, to whatever it is that God's calling on you to do. He may be calling on you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He may be calling on you to do something different. He may be calling on you to say, "You know what? I've never shared my story. And I realize today I need to be proactive in sharing my story." He may be calling on you to just come and kneel and pray for someone in your family, someone in your life that you know needs Christ. Whatever it is, you be obedient to Christ right now and what he's asking of you. Father God, I thank you so much for this morning, for our time together. I thank you that we've been able to open your word and hear that we don't need to fear. You have negated all fears. Father, that we not only got to see it from your word and the scripture, we got to see it and hear it firsthand from two of your servants. Father, I thank you for those being willing to share. And I pray that there would be many more in the church who would be willing. I know others have shared before in the church, but there still are many who have not. Not shared in the church, not shared in their home, not shared in the neighborhood or the workplace, not shared it at all. Oh Lord, that you would convince them that you have the power to take care of them if they'll be obedient and share your story. And if there's someone here today that does not know Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, then I pray that today would be the day that they make that decision for whatever compelling reason you give them, to spend eternity with you, to have a more abundant life here on earth, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I pray they would come and talk to me or Johnny. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You be obedient and respond as God calls you.